You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL. What's up?
What's up, dog?
What's up?
Another day, another dollar.
Here we go. Another day, another dollar. It's Monday night. The doubles haven't doubled yet. How you feeling?
Fine. Whatever.
See comes out.
Yeah, it's just this fucking nightmare. Every week is a nightmare with this fucking game, dude. I can't even take it anymore.
Before we do our teams, the cup is up. Discord IDs are also up. DM me, Alon, or at James on Discord if, you need to change your name or Discord name or any of that shit. Also, just humongous shout out to James, behind the scenes spreadsheet maestro, killing it in his debut. Everyone should message him, at him on Discord and thank him. So that's a good job by him. But yeah, so how's your nightmare going?
I got 66. Yeah. I mean, it's good in the grand scheme of things compared to like people who don't play the game seriously, but I don't think I've seen anyone get really like in the 60s. Everyone seems to be at least in like the 80s or the 70s, and it sucks. I mean, it's a Gundo thing. I just don't know. It's just either you captain Gundo and you're flying, or you didn't and you're just not doing very well. You're hoping for a gray at this point, but
Gundo or Gundo,
we'll
basically.
Maybe Cancelo won't do shit or, whatever.
Yeah, the top 10K net tough. Average is 80.8 and overall is 55.3. So that's
about. I mean, the triple Burnley D came in and triple City D. I mean, Diaz didn't play, but obviously that came in. They both cleaned. And so that was nice. But, now me is fucked. And obviously Lowton, who hasn't had an attacking return in his actual career actual season, has a goal. And it's just fucking baffling. So that was very upsetting. And,
it's his first goal since the 12-13 season.
Yeah, it's just the thing about it that's so fucking, it's like, how does it happen? On a double, it doesn't happen when they're just like at Leicester in game week 13 or something.
It's
like
a double. Yeah.
It's insane. It's just insane that.
Well, more insane is people being like, what a great call. Like, fucking crush. It's like, oh my God. You hit a 1 in 1 billion there. Like,
so that sucked. And, it's just whatever.
How's
so,
your cup going?
Things. He's Captain Gundo. I don't even know. I haven't brought my... I looked at his team before the game started, and I saw... the only thing that registered was that he's Captain Gundo.
Yeah.
I don't even know who else is on his team, and I'm not going to look at it again, but I lost.
Yeah, my opponent also Captain Gundo, but I actually still have a fighting chance because a triple, and I've got...
Yeah, let's hear about that.
Well, so he has a 15-point lead. He has Pope, Cancelo, Stones, and Cap Gundo, who may or may not play. I don't know. He came off with that injury. And then I have, obviously, triple Captain Pope, Cancelo, Stones, Diaz, who hopefully plays, Tark, and Rich. So I'm hoping the Burnley clean is the biggest thing. Cause
if you get a clean from Burnley, you're a definite heavy favorite. So.
Very in there. But without
Josh
me...
Madge,
without me and Fulham looking kind of good, it's very shaky.
Whoa. They've always looked good. Relax.
Oh, come on.
Stop.
Tip of the spear, Josh Madge.
So you held on triple Cap Pope?
I held on Triple Cap Pope, which looks fine. But yeah, in a week where Gundo scores 50,000 points, it's not that great. My minus four is net negative right now because Emmy gets a 12-pointer on my bench, which is like the most toxic part of the week for me. You know, he gets the most saves any keeper's made in a clean all season. His second highest point total of the season. And he's outscoring Pope at the moment. If Pope doesn't clean, he'll probably outscore him in a double. It's just like such a fucking joke. Yeah, I mean, the only thing that, like, I was bringing in Pope 100%. That was never not happening. The only thing that I didn't do but could have done and actually did think about was bench boosting. Yeah. You know, I had Emmy Brighton. I had Jack Brighton is okay. I had Rafinha Arsenal. I would have hit DCL. I would have been up a lot of points if I bench boosted instead of triple capped as of now. Yeah. So that's kind of annoying. Yeah, but
especially if you got like Ings or something.
Yeah. There's a bunch of guys I could have gotten.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm on 69. I'm okay. I'm on a small green. Like, yeah, it's okay.
You have a lot of guys though. You still have triple cap and triple cap plus five others. So you're in good position.
Yeah.
Fall's been really good for you.
I know, but fucking wish I had Cresswell, who's just the best defender in the fucking league.
Well, I
want to
talk about Cresswell today for a little bit, but before we do that, we'll do the things and then we'll talk
about stuff. Well, no league updates anyway.
Okay,
middle of the game week pods, we don't do the league updates.
So, with the Gundo thing, because, you know, I mean, I'm still not going to get him. I'm definitely just staying. But
we have questions about that. Or do you want us to just go?
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
Go. Okay, so Gilfie said, are we still laying in our beds with triple City D? Gundo guy seems pretty good. And Cardi said, which City D do we fuck off to make room for Gundo? So it's right what you started saying. So go on.
I don't know. Like, getting rid of good assets, right, for another good asset is like such a hard thing for me to like wrap my feeble little mind around, because it's easy when you have a piece of shit who sucks. Like if you have like Rashford, you're like, oh yeah, just get rid of it. That's easy. But if you have a player on a defense who cleans like 8 out of 9 and then you're talking about getting rid of them, it just seems actually insane to me.
Mm-hmm.
But what am I missing there? Like, because Gundo's obviously scoring like double digits every game, and he's obviously, I mean, granted, he's not going to keep scoring with, you know, like 80% conversion rate or whatever the fuck he's doing right now, scoring with every shot, but like he misses a pen and still gets like double digit hauls and
shit. Just insane.
Is it like the Mahrez thing from a few years ago, where it's just like, you're dumb, like he gets way more points in the clean sheet every game and that's where you need to be and it's worth the transfers? Or is this gonna even out?
The way I see it is twofold. There's like two different things happening. One is the endowment effect. I don't know if you remember that back from Renee Pod.
Obviously, I don't remember that a lot.
Dude, I don't know. It's kind of your wheelhouse. You know? Endow me. It's when your player is a huge dick. You tend to keep... No, it's the idea that you value something at a higher level when you've invested in it and you own it than you would if it was owned by someone else or, you know, not owned at all. So
it's called being stupid effect.
No, I know. It's just we have our guys, so we tend to want to stick with our guys. You've had triple City D for how long? 10 game weeks or something?
10 games or so, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So, you know.
They've been
amazing for you, so you also should be valuing them higher because they've been fucking incredible. And then the other thing that is definitely like we should talk about it like post-mortem, post-cog. It's something that I think both of us struggle with every year is these sort of like
getting the bandwagons,
the form awful myth.
I am a moron. Because I don't know how to do it.
Well, because here's the thing. Like, is Gundo going to keep scoring 2 goals every game? Absolutely not.
Why do we think in those terms though?
There's actually 0% chance. But
where we don't have to buy for 50 games. It's like for this little bit
That's the complicated, right? That's the complicated part. Because
it's not complicated. Why is it complicated for us? Because everyone, fucking one in their dog has him captain this week except for us. Derek? You think Derek doesn't have Gundo and can
catch him? Well, obviously Derek is
Gundo. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, form isn't predictable.
Form isn't predictable. It's just literally a word used to describe recent events, what has already happened.
A
player can be in form, have a bad match, now he's out of form. A player can be out of form, have a good match, now he's in form. It's ridiculous. So people are like trying to ride form traditionally and avoid players out of form, but those aren't predictable or dependable. So if you're telling yourself that you're doing that, then you're looking backwards and not looking forwards.
But you're missing the point in reducing the whole thing to the word form, because the other side of that is it's you people are buying him rightfully so because he's making these late runs and he's scoring tap-ins and shit. Yeah. And he looks really good every game. He's in the positions are good. The stats are so the underlines totally. Are also there.
The underlines are also there. But what I'm saying, if he was scoring at the rate that he quote unquote should be or has traditionally done or an average player would, he'd still be a good asset. But
yeah,
we would be fine. We would be totally chilling. Yeah. You know, like we'd be getting paid roughly the same point. So you want to think about who's going to hit form in the coming weeks, not who is hot for the last week or the last 2 weeks. And, you know, we all know that the streaks of being in or out of form exist, but it's impossible to know how long they're going to last. Like next game, he could miss two big chances. And then is he out of form? Is he just going to stop scoring every week? I don't know. And that's where I struggle. And I think of like the Ducore season. I'm sure there's like, or was it Kapu or both? I don't even know. Where there's just these guys who score every shot. Or Sun in the early part of the season, even. You know, yeah. I didn't get him. Like, I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, he's scoring.
It's not going to keep happening.
400% of his XG or something or goals, you know? And it's just like,
right.
But then I just missed the points anyway. So yeah. I don't know how to really translate it because it's the same with, like, Greenwood last season, right? Post-restart. It's like, well, this is stupid. Like, he's not going to score every shot. And now he you did. Know he's
and
bad.
Now he sucks ass, but he did last year for that spell. Like, but
right,
these
so
are,
it's like,
but it, we miss these guys every year, all of them.
No question that we're gonna miss them.
It's insane.
It's really insane. I don't know exactly how to handle it. I mean,
okay, so this is something we need to spend months on.
That's why I said like it out. Has to be like a post-cog thing more than anything okay. because
all right,
we're both right and wrong. The thing is, yeah, I don't know. When to jump on, when to jump off, things that are incapable of being consistent. It's like such a mindfuck. It's such a mindfuck for everything that I like believe in, you know? So that's my problem with the Gundo thing. So yeah, I'm also not planning on getting him in, and he's just going to score two goals every game until he stops scoring two goals every game, I guess.
Yeah, see, the thing, too, is the main also reason of why I'm not is City are going to keep a clean, like, every game. I mean, that, to me, is so bankable. They aren't really playing games anymore. They're just non-competitive, like, crowning show matches.
Yeah. And I mean, the cleans shit that are, them and Liverpool have done for the majority of the last three seasons is what they're still doing this season.
Right, exactly.
And they didn't do last season, and Liverpool did. Yeah. And it's just teams are fucking done before they show up. Like, teams are going to start rotating for the City match because it's a foregone conclusion that they can't get points.
Yeah, could do. Could do. Okay, that's that. Yeah, we need to spend... Let's make sure we hit on that afterwards and before the next year.
Absolutely. But so what do you want to say about Cresswell? What are you thinking about Cresswell?
Same exact thing. Like, how do we miss these guys? Was this another thing where we see it of just like not sustainable and he's not playing in the right role and it's just defying logic about all of his assists and shit? Because he has like 9 assists this year and I feel like they're all on like set pieces.
Wait,
shit.
He has
like
9 assists in
fantasy? 9. He has 9.
So he has 3 fantasy assists. Because in IRL, he has 6.
The IRL, I don't know, whatever.
I don't even
rebounds
remember,
or
like,
something?
How could he even get a fantasy assist? Like,
I don't know, rebounds, I guess, whatever.
Yeah, rebound. Oh, yeah, like a rebound off a free kick. That's probably exactly what it is, direct free. Yeah, I mean, his numbers are really good. I mean, he's not overperforming by that much, to be honest. Like, he's always been really quality on set pieces. He wasn't always on corners, but he's good at them and stuff. And I guess the difference is that they're keeping cleans now. I went for Soufal because he's cheaper, and he also has good attacking stats. But I don't think this is one that it's like us missing the bandwagon. I think we just overlooked him because he's been in the league for 10 years. And
I mean, there wasn't a minute of like the whole season where I considered getting him. The most expensive player on the defense, like the most expensive defender on the
that's
team.
Why.
Like,
what's happening
though? But then all of a sudden it seems like half of the people, everyone has him.
Well, I think people just tend to bring
just
in guys who are getting points. I mean,
getting points and shit.
Since game week,
fucking Aaron Cresswell, dude.
From game week 15, he has 2 blanks since then. So people have just been transferring him in every week. I think is really what happened. I brought in Soufal, like, who Yeah, he has been great for me, a lot of cleans, but his big chances haven't converted to goals, yeah. So he doesn't have
assists. He's getting sixes, and Kressel's getting nines and tens.
And that's just like basically unlucky, except the set pieces, I think, are something that we always are aware of when defenders are taking set pieces, and it's something we usually gravitate towards. It's
the price,
I think. Like,
yeah, maybe it was the price.
Because they're really not that good at defense.
I think the West Ham thing is like, we could spend an hour on West Ham, but they've gone through so many different phases of the season. Like when they were playing with Masuaku, they were actually legit stud defense for a good like month and a half.
Yeah.
And their underlings were ridiculous and they just looked really good. And they lost him. And that's where when Cresswell started playing back. Yeah, they dipped. And it was just like, they've been kind of a little messy bunch this year, but.
Yeah.
Cresswell's 9 fucking assists in 24 games is unreal.
Yeah.
He's like leading the fucking league in assists. He has 9 assists.
Yeah. That's so many fucking assists. Yeah, I mean, they have back-to-back cleans. Before that, they didn't clean for 4 in a row, but Cresswell laughs in the face of not cleaning. Yeah, like, he gives a fuck. He's right. 2 assists, no cleans. He doesn't care. And yeah,
poignant on Cresswell, just like, actually astonished after he gets 12 today, just looking at his season of like, holy shit, like he has so many points and we haven't probably talked about him all year.
Yeah. I think honestly, right. Just like the set pieces and stuff like that. I mean, the shot creation this season, he has 24 completed dead ball passes that have led to a shot attempt. Last season, 6. The season before that, 6. Like what? He's just like, Moyes is just like, fuck everything. You're on every single set piece ever.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I guess they're just doing
and they're
things
really
better.
Good at set pieces also.
Yeah, they're just tall, huge geniuses.
Huge soup check and their center backs. And
yeah, even Dawson.
Dawson is a monster. Okay. Yeah, so. Oh, yeah, I think we just missed it, but, you know, he's still good.
We missed
that one.
We missed so much. That's ridiculous.
He's still good, though. You know?
Like he's still a good
back. They have Spurs, City, Leeds, United, Arsenal. Like, they have nightmare fixtures, but who knows? Maybe they have a double in 26 or something. I don't know. Maybe it's still a good pick. So,
actually, no. But, the fixtures are bad, though. I don't know. Whatever. And they have an easy run, and maybe he'll be good back at the end of the season.
We'll get him then. But speaking of the doubles, so there's 2 doubles this week. There's Leeds, who are away Wolves, home Southampton, and Southampton, who are home Chelsea, away Leeds. Got a bunch of questions on the doublers. So,
okay. What do we got?
Faz said, good Southampton guys to take a punt on for the double next week other than Ings.
Yep.
Pun loving's going to talk me out of bringing in Rafinha and Bamford triple cap. Jacob J said, given Southampton's upcoming doubles and the fact that he's playing out of position at striker, is it finally Redder's time? I'll let you take that one. Pete said, is it worth using Jacob J. I think he's a fucking troll.
I don't know who that is.
Pete said, is it worth using transfers on Leeds and Southampton players or saving them for double game week 26 instead? Which also, by the way, like double game week 26 is 0% confirmed so far. So chill on that probably. And then Jeff D said, if you own both, would you cap Bamford or Ings? Which I think is like the big, big call this week, I would say.
Yeah. Yep.
So Southampton, are you seeing anything there other than Ings?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to take note of Vestergaard.
He's really
good. He still is great. And they have, this is the thing we talked about with them last pod, is that they have really good fixtures after the double. Like, they have a really good patch. And their doubles, like the 2 games in hand that haven't been scheduled yet, other like 25 schedule, but it's at Spurs and at City, so that's not really like great for anything. But I mean, it's an extra couple minutes.
Great for points play. Points for minutes.
Yeah, it's good for an extra couple points. But I'm just, you know, we're not going to see like all of a sudden. But in the interim, they still have really good fixtures. I mean, they've got Everton, Sheffield, Brighton, Burnley. Well, Brighton actually is not good anymore.
Burnley, fucking
West Brom. Yeah, Brighton. I don't know what's happening at Brighton, but they have a pretty good run. So. I think Vestergaard's a pretty reasonable pick if you're in and around looking for something like that. I mean, Burnley, it's just an awkward thing with Burnley because They play West Brom. Their fixtures get really bad for Cleans after West Brom, but they play West Brom, so it's a tough switch there. I mean, maybe if some people have like Fulham defenders, I'm not sure, but I still think Vestergaard's a good option. But without KWP now, who's out again, they don't have any depth. So McCarthy's just not ideal.
Not sure what he's up to either.
So it wouldn't be like too surprising that they keep zero cleans against Chelsea and Leeds. Is probably expected, but
I mean, you know, honestly, just looking at the short term, it's like Sheffield is the only like one I feel really good about a clean. But there's also a chance Brighton, that they have.
I still think Brighton's a good clean. It's clean just a bad attacking
but
fixture.
I don't feel like great about it.
Yeah, but, yeah, fine.
But the fact that they might Only have back Brom, to back to Alice. Back doubles or something insane like that, you know. 4 points a week isn't depth. Bad.
Yeah, they don't have depth to rotate, so.
Yeah, and he's their best player, but outside of Ings, probably, so.
Yeah.
Attacking-wise, I'm not too thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, Ings is obviously a good option.
Great pick. Yeah, great pick.
Otherwise, they're all punts. You know, they're just all punts. Obviously,
no one's
Redmond's,
even really nailed.
Yeah, Redmond has the lore. You know, he's...
But I feel like it's not late enough in the season.
Does he care?
I feel like the lore cares.
The lore care. Holy
like,
shit.
In the lore, it's like the 37 double game week where it's like, it's Redder's time. Like,
and he scores
28
points.
Season's over and he's going to brace
Everyone's
against,
on the beach.
Know. Yeah.
The thing with Redmond that, I mean, you normally don't need to talk me into punting on Redmond, but he's... just very much not nailed, which is a little scary because with Minamino there, I mean, Che didn't play last game, but you know, you can easily see a game where he's just not playing, even though Theo's out, which is really the biggest boon for him.
Stu looked good against Wolves, you know, at least in highlights and stuff, but like,
yeah, he's been very, very underwhelming this
punts.
Year for me. Yeah.
Massive punts. I don't really like
I mean, it's a tough, like, you know, it's going to be a tough sell to go for any of these midfielders over Rafinha, I think. Rafinha basically just returns every week now. So, you know, I don't know how many spots you have on your team for these sorts, but, I don't hate Redmond punt. I'm never going to hate that, even though he was so fucking Redmond against Wolves, dude. It was insane.
Well, he has to
he was
be
doing
Redmond
the most
in
Redmond
order for...
shit. It was insane. It was just
if
such
he
a
wasn't
madness.
Redmond D, then the lore would be, you know, not applicable. So, you know.
The chances of me not having Redmond, 0%.
You're bringing in Redmond?
Absolutely, I'm bringing Redmond.
Oh, my God. Why don't you just bring in Weird Al Yankovic instead? I mean,
well, he's on red card ban still, probably, but there's no question I'm bringing Redmond in. How could I not bring Redmond in for a double?
I'm actually surprised.
How many opportunities in our lives are we going to have this? This is
literally
old,
every
you know,
season.
But he's getting up there. Yeah, you know, he's on Luton Town next year. I don't know.
That'd be great. Great buy.
I mean,
for
he gets like 4, 3, 4, 5 goals every season. He only has one right now, so he's good for a few more.
So he's
more.
Due?
He's due.
Yeah, VV due. Okay.
So I'm going to be having to take a bite of that. I mean, I'm not going to talk to anyone about like this is a smart thing to do. Like I'm obviously this is fucking so stupid, but I'm going to do
insane.
It anyway.
It's insane. It's insane.
It's going to be fantastic.
It's insane.
It's going to be so good.
It's such a bad pick. I'm excited.
I'll do that thing for my own joy and happiness.
Yeah, you gotta respect the joy. So what about
Minamino too? You know, punt. Good punt.
Punt, total punt though. Like he didn't even have a shot or anything. So
yeah, he didn't look good against Wolves. They just I watched from 20-25 on or so, and they were just they just got outplayed by Wolves. It wasn't good. I don't know.
The Ings goal was very good though.
Yeah, that was a good goal.
That was very good. But what about the pen? What about the righty looking?
I was telling that we were talking about that.
I know, but did you see the screenshot that Nate posted?
Yeah, I saw. No, it's the same thing.
How is
this
the natural position?
It's so the same good. Thing we talk about. Like, it's, I mean, we've tried hard, I think, to not talk about the VAR because it's just everyone, blah, blah. But I mean, with this game, it's just, you know, very case in point. You know, they gave the first one no look, unintentional handball. Like, fine. If you're going to do it, today in this 90-minute game and you referee this way, then fine. Then you give it both ways. It's not only you give half of them. That's the issue, you know?
Yep.
That was the issue with this one. So, you know, obviously Southampton should have a pen based on the fact that he did the same thing with the Wolves pen, but, you know, he didn't do it. So
yep.
That's another fucking piece of shit bullshit thing.
Yep. What about Leeds, guys? I mean, we obviously.
I feel like you're more tuned in with Leeds than I am. What are you feeling? Well, they, with Leeds?
First of all, it must be said, Arsenal kicked the absolute fuck out of them.
Disassembled them. It was not
absolute piss take. I'm sure Leeds fans were running in hot, like, lol, Arsenal meme team are gonna get fucking bantered on by our fucking bully Leeds bullies, and Ailing's gonna shut down Obs and everything. It was a fucking joke of a game. So that must be said. So I guess they're out of form, right? No, but they're fine. I don't really consider it a data point. They're still gonna be the exact same relentless attack, relentless press, you know, going for it all the time. So yeah, I mean, I've had Bamford and Rafinha for a while. They're good. I think they're both good picks. The thing that I keep thinking about is, well, obviously Leeds have away Wolves, which is better than the Chelsea fixture for Southampton.
Yep.
But I feel like playing against Leeds is way better than playing against Southampton. What do you think about that?
I agree 1,000,000%.
So I kind of am leaning towards Ings being the better guy because of that fixture.
Yeah, I definitely am there on that. The other thing too with Bamford, I mean, there've been 24 Leeds games. I feel like we've actually watched full 90s of at least like 19 of them. Like we've watched pretty much every Leeds game. Bamford does have a tendency to just kind of go missing a little bit.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they do a lot around him and not like through him. And Southampton, when Ings is playing, nothing ever happens without Ings's say and involvement. And they're still a good team. I mean, they didn't have a good showing in the second half of Wolves, but I still back. Like, I think Southampton will win that game against Leeds.
I don't even know about that because, you know, Southampton are no great defense either. But if you say, like, which player is more likely to have a brace, I think it's by far Ings.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think Bamford's points and braces just, or, I mean, he's at, like, one. But his points in general kind of come of, like, I have no idea when they're going to come.
Yeah.
He's a volume player, really. Like, you know, he's got 20 returns, which is outstanding and really ridiculous for his price and the blah, 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 you know, in 24 games. But, you know, for a captaincy, I still feel like you're punting with him because it just doesn't feel like it's consistent or bankable still, even to me when I watch them. So like, I think I like Ings more too.
I think Derek's point about Bamford being like very robotic with his runs was good. And it's when you focus on Bamford, it's like everything's almost telegraphed and like, they're predetermined runs by the manager, like predetermined patterns and stuff like that. And in games where they're not on the front foot, like the Arsenal match, like just nothing happens. He makes his like peeling run, but they can't get the ball forward, or no one, you know, gets the ball to the box, or they lose the ball in the center of the pitch and Arsenal are breaking on them. And he just keeps doing the same thing over and over. Yeah. And he doesn't he never is, you know, coming deeper to try and get more involved. Like, he just does the Bamford thing nonstop. And it just, it sometimes just doesn't work straight up. So, I like Ings. I don't love the triple cap on Bamford. We've established this last week. And away Wolves is not a good attacking fixture. They're not a good team, but they're a fucking bus.
They were, again, though, it's really getting hard to keep up with Wolves, but they were pretty open. Like, they were not parking, doing the five at the back Wolves thing. They were just straight up open and outplaying and possessing.
Yeah, because they didn't allow much. Like, no, but
it wasn't because they were just like firefighting in the middle and at the edge of their own third. It was like they were dominating the game.
That's surprising.
So I don't know if they're still like in. He went back to doing the bus for a while, and now he's doing different things. I'm not sure, but but no, I mean, yeah, it's Wolves is a tricky one to. They're always tricky to assess, I think. Yeah,
very true. Well, especially this season, they've
changed
personnel.
This season, not always. This season, they've been.
Yeah. Past season, yeah. But I still think Dallas is also a good pick. I mean, they threw everyone off the scent with conceding four, and he got a -1. Whatever. It's still a defender playing number 10 in a couple of fixtures. You know, they could clean Wolves. They could. I don't like them for a clean ever, but they sometimes keep them. And he can get an assist very easily, and he plays two games. Like, it's totally a good pick, I think.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm not going to go there myself in my team, I don't think. But, no, I can, for the reasons that you said, you never expect the clean to come in, but when he's playing actual and attack cam, then, you know, if you luck into a clean, then great, and if not, you know, he's basically just, that's all good.
I looked ahead. Game week 29, as of right now, 3 fixtures. Have you seen that?
So that'll be probably like a free hit or something. I don't know.
Brighton, Newcastle, Fulham, Leeds, West Ham, Arsenal. That's it. So I don't know what the fuck is going on.
That's too far away to care about.
Yeah, they didn't like announce or anything. And that's just the state of the fixture schedule as of right now. So
all
right. Here we are.
But see, are you more interested in Dallas than like Vestergaard? Because if Vestergaard's going to have all these extra games and shit.
You know what? I haven't really looked at it for my individual team. Soufal will probably be the guy to go. And I have to basically evaluate, is this a 1 week starter or am I going to start this guy going forward?
Yeah.
And that'll probably make the decision for me.
I still don't agree with like chopping and changing your like sub 5 million defender just because they're doubles, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to, but if I'm only starting them this week, I'll probably go Dallas. But if I'm gonna, I'll probably be benching Saka for this really difficult period. And if that's the case, then I'll probably start Vestergaard. And you know, I'd rather start Vestergaard than start Dallas for the upcoming run. So
yeah, sure.
I don't know. I'll have to figure that out. We'll figure it out. Okay,
that's a my life conversation.
Definitely. Okay. For sure. Right. Anything else, or should we just jump to questions?
Yeah, I mean, questions sounds good. What else do we have coming?
Al said, is there an obvious better choice between Matto and Barnes?
Yeah, that's you. Take it away.
I still like Barnes more, yeah. I mean, I've always liked Barnes more for fantasy, and I still like Barnes more for fantasy. Matto's playing great, but yeah, Barnes is in the box, gets shots, gets chances, XG, he knows great how to chances. Take a foul. Yeah, loves falling down. No, but he looked great on the ball also versus Liverpool. He's just great. Yeah, I think it's easy. Easy Barnes.
There you go.
And he's cheaper, so it's good.
Ew.
B. Robert said, besides City, who are you looking at as the in-form teams at the moment? Form. He'll never fucking leave me alone.
Tell me more about Watsy.
I wake up with... in the middle of my cold sweat with form under my bed.
Here are the teams that are in form. Leicester won. They're in form. Burnley won. They're in form. Villa and Brighton drew. Neither of them are in form.
Horrible
Wolves
form.
Won. They're in form. West Brom and United drew. Neither in form. Arsenal won. They're in form. Fulham won. They're in form.
They're in form.
West Ham won. They're in form.
They're in form.
Chelsea won. So they're in form. There you go. Just pick any of them. Any of them 10, they're all in form.
That was great. Great job by you.
Not 10, because we had a couple draws in there. So, you know, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
In seriousness, I mean, are there any, you know, front foot, I mean, you know, bushy tail guys there?
The funny thing is, like, those are the teams that come to mind. You know, and it's part of that is recency bias, but form is recency bias. That's what form fucking is. So, I mean, yeah, I think Chelsea looked good, but their schedule's been extremely easy. It's something that is definitely should be taken note of. We don't really know what they're going to do in tougher fixtures.
Also, I have no idea who's playing where at all.
Yeah. I think West Ham have definitely been really good lately. I mean, they had the 0-0 versus Fulham, but they demolished Villa the game before that and demolished Sheffield United today in the second half. So that's a good job by them. I think Brighton have been playing great, putting up huge numbers. Burnley have been good. And Arsenal. Yeah, Arsenal have been good.
Arsenal have the tough fixtures, though, so there's nothing really there to look at. Yeah,
that's hard, too.
Yeah, okay.
Yobil said, does Klopp conceding the title race make you reevaluate your Liverpool assets? Maybe he rotates more with Champions League matches approaching.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is getting tough watching this week on week, right?
Yeah.
The Leicester game, I mean, it's like capitulations in these moments where it's just, it feels very foreign, like over the last 4 years or 3 years or whatever that Klopp's been there, to watch them have these types of it's performances. Like
Brodge, Liverpool.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Exactly like that. And
yeah.
So yeah, I think it is kind of, I mean, you know, I was definitely like banging the whole Liverpool defense assets, and it seems like that was just a fucking horrible call because they look like conceding one a game. I mean, they've been doing that, yeah, but it looks more like that than they're conceding one a game instead of cleaning. It's like they're having these moments and they're having to change their personnel so much that,
yeah,
you know, yeah, I mean, they're gonna maybe struggle to have clean. So I think, you know, I'm definitely like pulling back on that and being more concerned, I think, absolutely, after watching the Leicester game, because, you know, it's another one where they were in control for 75% of the game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this 10-minute window happens of madness, and then all of a sudden the game's gone. And, you know, that's sort of what they've been up to a little bit.
Yep.
Kinda. So, yeah. I think it is definitely, that was, I think, a reevaluation for me anyway of, you know, actually maybe they are a little bit sort of kind of stay away.
How many weeks have we been saying that Robbo looks tired, Robbo looks out of form? Yeah. And like
Trent still, he looks like he's back.
Yeah, if anyone, Trent looks great, and he's probably going to start getting attacking returns. But like, yeah, if the cleans aren't there, it's still a tough ass. Like,
yeah.
Like we just talked about Cresswell, who's in, you know, he doesn't have the quality, but he's in just as many attacking positions and frees and seppies and stuff. He's a million and a half cheaper on a team that's looking like just as likely to keep cleans ish.
Yeah.
I mean, not in their next, you know, five or whatever, watch them with tough fixtures, but it's like just hard to pay that price. And Marcos,
that was the other thing with Cresswell, dude, was playing left sided center back for like half the season. I know,
that's another thing.
They were all on set pieces.
That's another reason we kind of avoided it, I think. And yeah, I was like, oh, I went for the wing back in Souffal, you know? Like,
all right, that, sorry, that's derailed. You keep going.
No, that's all. I'm just agreeing with you there. I think, you know, Trent was a couple inches away from that free, and like he's creating chances.
Trent's been looking just like normal, like last year kind of Trent stuff, which is nice.
Which sucks.
Yeah. Because this is the other thing, too, with Trent, you know, watching him put a few good performances together, even though the team's not looking good. We can go back. Like, don't forget what everyone's team in game week one looked like. He was in every single team. So those players like dip and they're out of every team, you know, and they start playing better again, like just that's something to just remember, because he's the kind of player that could string together like 12, 10, 6, 3, 13, 12, you know, totally. He scored 20 plus last year in a game week. He's
I think really against Leicester, good, so. Funny enough. But
Yeah,
I mean, so they have home Everton, away, home Everton maybe without DCL, away Sheffield, home Fulham, away Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, like, those could be four cleans.
Trent could fucking explode, you know?
Could be. But it's still the same thing punt, remains though, where they're a little fragile right now.
Definitely,
so.
And
they only have one double, I think.
Regarding the rotation, I'm definitely worried, you know, like, I don't think Mo is that guy. He's a fucking machine. But, like, yeah, if you were going for, you know, a Robbo or punting on, I don't even know. There's not even anyone else to own in Liverpool, but.
Well, the thing about it, though,
they might rotate.
They kind of can't, because they need to finish top four.
Yeah, I know.
they're in the top four. Like, they're winning against the bad teams.
That's
true. So.
Yeah, that's true.
And they only have two extra games. I mean, they're not in any of the other competitions, so it's not like they're getting hammered. So I think that he's going to keep going strong.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think you're right, actually, thinking
about
it. I'm
not too worried there.
There's also, like, not great options, you know? People are still, Jota's still hurt, et cetera, so.
Did you see what he said about Keita? He was like, he said he's like, he's not fit, but he's not injured. I'm like, okay.
That is the name of his autobiography. Not fit, but not injured. The Naby Keita story.
Then you are injured.
Yeah, him and Partey. Never been fit or injured in their lives. Everyone discourse like he never was injured at Atletico. I'm like, well, he played 2,200 minutes every season, so I don't know what he was. But And then last question, Fossey G. This is kind of what we were talking about earlier, actually, now that I think about it. He said, template players with high effective ownership, the Gundos, Brunos, Mo, Emmy, etc., are flying right now. For those of us huddling down on that or near that template, when is the right time to jump ship and start ditching some of these insanely highly owned players? In other words, what signs will you look for that it's time to ditch a player like Gundo?
It's, I mean, you know me, I'm always going to come back to eye test with it. Like, either Kevin's back and he's not nailed anymore, or he switches roles, or he's doing, you know, he has to change. Like, his performances have to change, either positionally or stats or whatever they are. And until then, there's no reason. So this is the same thing where, you know, you get rid of good picks just because other people have them and you think you're not going to gain. Well, you're going to fucking drop like a stone, like me or you, if you don't own them. So take that as a cautionary tale. And, you know, they're good picks until they're not good picks anymore. And, you know, if they're still doing the same things that they're doing last week, this week, and then they're still doing the same things last week, this week, as and you look at that each week, and that's how you reevaluate your team each week, then, you know, you just hold until, you know, until they're fingers pointing that it's not good anymore.
It's a big difference between if he's still getting big chances and missing them, and if he's not getting big chances anymore. Those are not the same thing, even though they yield the same points in fantasy. So that's that's where the eye test and stats come in, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to our teams.
Okay.
What's up with your team?
Well, I need to figure out where Redmond's coming in, and it's not the easiest puzzle to fit him in.
No, it isn't. I'm looking
that's all
right
I'll
now.
Say about it for
I'm
right
looking
now.
Right now. It is not an easy puzzle. Well, it seems unreasonable to bench the Burnley guys, right?
I wasn't going to. I mean, I was planning on benching Watkins, but I can't play a 5-5. I mean, I need to bench somebody.
You're going to end up like transferring out Rashford, I think, or something.
I feel like he's holding me hostage.
I know.
And that's realize
he has Newcastle, though.
Do you realize how bad he's been since I bought him?
I don't actually. When did you get him?
I got him in
game
the
week
16. The Wolves game.
So he's been 7-2-6-2-1-2-3-9-5-2. Yeah, it's
fucking he's 10 million.
Awful.
Awful.
That's so rough.
Fucking awful. It's honestly it's the exact same thing of when I had Mane at the beginning of the season. He had I think he was even worse than that. Right. But I held him for a similar amount of stretch of time for like 10 games, and it just he's fucking fucked me so hard.
3.8 points per game.
It's insane. He's 9-5.
That's like he's McCarthy so numbers or something.
And I keep finding reasons to hold on to him, and it's just killing me.
Yeah.
It's actually killing me.
Yeah.
He that kills me. And I hate rooting for him.
Yeah, I know. You just, yeah. Yeah. That's a Friday in my life sitch. We'll have to figure that out then, I guess.
I need to figure out how to get Redmond in. Like, I'm pretty much, like, after just watching the events transpire this weekend, like, ready to just, like, play. You know?
Play the game.
I'm ready to just do shit. Like, I am fucking so bad. Like, I'm just every year it's the same thing. The wheels fall off. Last year and this year anyway.
Yeah, it's definitely not every year. This is a
new
fucking
thing. No, it's last year
thing.
And this year.
Yeah.
It's the last year and this year. And I'm just like I'm fucking fed up of the same nonsense every week where I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do like oh this is good yeah Rashford yeah safe good United are good and I watch every game and I'm like oh my god I hate this guy so I need to start doing some things and having more fun I think so I mean maybe I'll do like a Rashford thing and I'll get you know do some other stuff but I'm looking at getting like a couple doublers like I'm happy to take a hit or two I don't give a shit
I don't mind a hit for a doubler
I don't fucking give a shit about hits it sounds great it sounds lovely So maybe it's, you know, maybe I get Bamford back. I don't know. I could do that. Maybe not.
Maybe not. Perhaps not.
I don't know.
I just hope that we get the 26 doubles before the Friday 25
deadline.
That would be nice.
Because
that could help with transfers a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that would. I am worried about the thing. I mean, I'm going to get Redmond anyway, but I am worried about they have like 2 days off, you know?
Who? Oh, they do between their doubles.
Between games, yeah. They have a Saturday and then a Tuesday. And then if they do have more doubles, I mean, God, who's going to play that? Is
well, at
I mean,
least Ings, they don't run a lot or press.
What about you?
My team looks good, except for Rich and DCL. So, yeah, I like Ings. I'll probably go there. I haven't really looked at this yet, but Ings is obvious. And I eventually want to get Kane. I know that I want to get Kane eventually. And they might double in 26. Really, he looks great. I mean, surprisingly, he just looks completely 100% fit, which is not what I would have guessed.
He looks so good. And they have a lot of doubles.
Three games in hand. I'm not sure if I'll get Kane this week, although I think West Ham's kind of a good fixture for them, to be honest.
They always score against them.
I looked up Moyes versus Mourinho because I figured they've played enough fucking times and they're both dinosaurs who've never changed their system.
Yeah.
Mourinho fucks the shit out of him sideways. Moyes gets like 0.4 points per game against him half a goal per game, and Mourinho gets 2 goals per game against Moyes or something like that.
All right, so you're looking at Kane now.
Well, sort of, yeah.
Wow, I might go wild and join you there. Can I do something with Redmond and Kane? Let's see. What do we
do? Well, if you get rid of Rashford, that would be a lot of money. Let's not do this now.
Okay. But I'm starting to click the button.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm literally feeling like this. It's that meme where you're like playing the video game. It's like then you're trying and you lean forward in the chair. It's so good.
Yeah, I have options there. No, Kane, we haven't mentioned Kane, but he looks so good. I don't understand.
So good.
He looks better than he's looked like all year.
Yeah, he looks so good.
Last game, I was like, holy fuck, what is this?
Yeah, so good. So I'm looking at him. I'm looking at Ings. You're capping Ings, I assume?
Yeah, 100%. That's dead cert. No question about that.
So I'm on Bamford now, but as we covered earlier, I think Ings is the better pick, so I'll probably try and get him. If I don't get him, I'll just go Bamford. I could go Rafinha, but I'll probably go Bamford.
Yeah. The other thing, too, I mean, it's held pretty steady, is that the Ings goals are not four-point goals. Like, they're the 5-7-point goals. He's still so good on bonus points for that team when he scores, so... Because he creates a lot, you know, he creates a lot, and he does all the things. So.
I could do Kane, I could do DCL and Rich out for Kane and Maja. Holy
Josh, Jack.
All right, yeah, that's it. Let me slap asses. Okay. We got a ton of all new signups for the cup. Good job by everyone. Sorry if you didn't get in there. Better luck next year. Pay more attention next year when we announce it like 2 weeks in advance, I guess. Tyler Fearn, Richard Barnett, Ivan Assam, Sean Whittle, Ashley Hayden, Edson Visaya, Craig Brown, Tom Cabella, Alfie Green, Sean Conlon, Craig Cox, and Jay Sr., Stephen Mullaney, Peter Puros, Frode Satron, Robert Valencia Cook, Alexander Michael, Conrad Hines, David Bechter, Gio Bios, and Sam Rainers. Fuck the ass. Get in there. That's it, dude. Any last words? That was a really short pod.
Yeah, it was good. It's...
Yeah, we don't make them...
We need to talk about the same fucking thing every week.
Exactly.
You know, we don't need to do that. Everyone talks about the same thing.
We talk about what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. We can talk about
things. And honestly, we have another pod on Thursday night, and there's going to be... The two double matches will have happened. Champions League will have happened. Maybe double game week 26 will be announced by then. So we have a whole nother hour of action later in the week.
We also I feel like ever since we got back into my life that we kind of sell the real one short because it's
we don't. It's just
it's good. They're both fine.
Yeah, like there's no reason for me to talk about like Pope. He hasn't even played the other game yet, and we're doing another pod. Like I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at it in that scope, since we do two a week, then it's not short.
Yeah, because
we do two.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That is what you're. Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah.
Just took me a second.
Yep. Check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlfield. Support us at patreon.com/fmlfield. Subscribe, rate, review, cheers.
Podcast Network.